Hi again, welcome to another kick-ass episode of F This Movie. We're not talking about kick-ass. We're coming to you live from my bedroom. And joining me once again, your favorite co-host, Doug.
Thank you very much. And
You are your favorite co-host. Well, that's what I mean to say.
I'm not yours. Hello, please. Please, Eddie.
Welcome to F This Movie.
We're in your bedroom. Yeah. I feel it's very sexy.
Yeah.
It's very sultry and luxurious. This round bed with the mirror above
it. Ignore the scarves over the lamps. I'm trying to set a mood.
The display of lotions. It's very disconcerting, but why not? We're F This Movie in a bedroom. Why are we in the bedroom, Patrick? Because we're effing in the bedroom, of course.
This is where all the effing happens.
I mean, we're effing the movie in the bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, we're effing the movie in the bedroom, All right, so in the bedroom, totally deserving of all its Oscar nominations.
Yes.
And I did not see that coming.
I found it very cheerful.
Yeah, kind of a happy movie. Welcome to F This Movie. You can visit us online at fthismovie.blogspot.com, where we have podcasts and lists and now some artwork.
What kind of artwork?
Well, F This Movie artwork, courtesy of Miguel Sanchez. An F This Movie fan and comic book artist who draws a comic book called Starfish.
What do you call the kind of art, though, that people, that fans draw?
It's like fan art.
I call that, I feel that's too many syllables. Okay. What would you call it if it was just one syllable?
Fart.
Yes. Check out fthismovie.blogspot.com for farts. There's lots of farts all over the place.
You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Mm. You can find us on DVD Verdict or dvdverdictpresents.com. You can find us in the iTunes store. And now you can find us in Podcast Alley.
Really?
Which I think is called, what, podcastalley.com?
I would assume so. By the way, the Podcast Alley's new, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
And iTunes Store makes us sound very official. The other one's like, check us out at our WordPress Tumblr blog spot. It's like, who gives a crap? But it's like, iTunes Store, a store.
Yeah, but we're free.
Oh, we are.
You don't have to pay for it. We're free. Free. Yeah.
We're cheap that way. In the only way.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
Have you seen anything lately?
You know what? We just got together recently to F Funny People.
Yes.
And it was a few days ago, or I guess it was like a week ago, but I hadn't seen too much, but
Depends on when you're listening to this.
I guess, right.
It could be a few days. It could be a month.
If this is in the future,
yeah.
And I'm talking to Johnny in the future, you're third generation firefighter.
Because you're third generation firefighter.
We're effing frequency.
That's right. In the bedroom.
I haven't seen too much lately, although I did catch on Epix, which is a movie channel I have on my Dish Network. By the way, Dish Network is not bad. I like Dish Network because it has Epix. I saw the Louis C.K. concert movie, and it was very...
Hilarious?
It was funnier than Funny People.
It's called hilarious. It's not a question like, was it hilarious? But I leave out the what is. I'm just like, hilarious?
That's how I ask most of my questions.
Right.
Hungry?
Delicious? But the movie is called Hilarious.
Yes, it is.
And now you are one of the fortunate few who get Epix and saw it because a little backstory on the Louis C.K. concert film.
I love backstory.
By the way, it's like the first stand-up film to really come out since Martin Lawrence Runtell that in like 2002 or 2003.
When did Jerry Seinfeld's Comedian?
Well, that's a documentary, technically. Oh. That's not really a concert film.
Okay. Well, then, I'm sorry.
So, Hilarious was the first stand-up concert movie to ever screen at Sundance, and was supposed to get, like, a wide theatrical release, and instead only played in a few cities on one night, including one theater here in Chicago that sold out very quickly.
Which one?
The Music Box Theater.
Oh, cool.
Which gets mentioned on almost every F This Movie. And then debuted on Epix, and I was not able to see it because I don't have Epix.
Yeah, I saved it, and you can come over and watch it.
Thank you.
GoBots.
This movie, hilarious.
GoBots, legend.
Battle of the Rock Lords.
Battle of the Rock Lords, please. I'm such an embarrassment to this podcast.
You're an embarrassment to GoBots.
Not so much to Transformers.
No, no.
So I saw it on Epix, and I tried to, like, because I actually missed the first a few minutes, and it was just, like, one of those things where I stumbled upon it, and I recorded it. But I tried to record a future one, and you can't find it. So I don't know if it's just like, aired
once. Yeah, they might really only be showing
it. Which is really
it
bizarre. But it's actually, he's hilarious. I have to say, though, that the movie as a movie itself is really poorly shot.
Oh, really?
The person working the spotlight is he'll walk and he'll walk out of the light. It's very and then the top of his head might be dark.
Would you say it's hilarious?
It's dark. Dark. Oh. I mean dark humor. Oh yeah, it's very funny in that it's very dark humor. Because he talks about having sex with dead children. That's one of his jokes. And I laughed, and my wife looked at me all funny.
I think I saw him do that routine live. Was that the whole thing about how we have to ease up on child molesters, that whole thing?
No, I don't think it was. Okay. It was just something. He said something, and he said it only to get a shock from the audience.
Yeah.
And then he expanded on the shock and said, I'd have sex with a dead child. And then he just went on this whole rant about, I'm not saying I would kill a child. I'm just saying if I found a child dead in the forest and it wasn't raining, I might have sex with it. And by the way, the funniest thing to me is if it wasn't raining. I think that's one of the funniest aspects of that joke. But
Louis C.K. directed Pootie Tang. F this movie, Pootie Tang.
And that's what we're effing. No, we're not effing Pootie Tang.
No, we're absolutely not. We're effing Goonie Tang.
Goonie Tang. But before we get there,
yeah.
What have you seen? Anything good lately?
I have been watching a lot of TV on DVD lately for my various jobs, and because
that's very Canadian of you.
Yeah, well, I like to be. You can't do that on television. I've been watching.
Joke. I don't know.
Right? Nothing came out. September is when they put all of the shows out on DVD, like the most recent season of pretty much every show, because they do it right before the new season starts. So every season of every show that I liked last year has come out on DVD, and some shows I didn't like I've been watching to review. But I did see a movie yesterday in the theater, which is also very Canadian.
That is very Canadian. I would say theater when it's obviously pronounced theater. Go on.
I saw a movie called The Town.
Mm.
It's about a town.
I'm intrigued so far because I love towns.
Charlestown.
Hello.
In Boston.
You lost me. I'm sorry. I'm no longer interested. It sounds boring. It sounds like something I don't want to see.
The Town is the Ben Affleck directed.
I'm intrigued again.
You're back in. It's good. It's really good. It's very commercial. I would say it's way more commercial than Gone Baby Gone.
Okay.
But I'm really happy to see that the movie is getting good reviews and is fairly successful financially thus far. It was number one at the box office this weekend. Because I've always kind of been pulling for Ben Affleck. I feel like he got a bad rap, some of it well-deserved, because he decided, after finding some success, obviously winning the Oscar for Good Will Hunting, he decided to be a movie star rather than an actor.
Well, it's interesting how different the career paths of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have gone.
Yeah.
Matt Damon has very, I think, carefully chosen.
Yeah.
And I don't even
And wisely, I think.
I don't even like all the choices necessarily, but they are kind of the respectable.
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Or wasn't he in All the Pretty Horses?
Don't you miss The Way We Dance?
I do.
Always. He was in All the Pretty Horses.
But
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Even if you don't like those, it's still just the respectable path, whereas Ben Affleck went the route of... And of course, every critic I've listened to lately that talks about The Town says he's redeemed himself because from Geely or...
Right,
let
me say something right now, by the way. Geely is not nearly as bad as everyone says. And Geely is a bad movie because there's a retarded guy in it who calls the beach the Baywatch. He wants to go see the Baywatch. That's something that...
Isn't a movie that came out in the 2000s?
Yeah, and that a retarded screenwriter writes, not something a retarded character says. And Geely is bad, and Ben Affleck is kind of smug and bad in it, but it's not nearly as bad as a lot of people would say. And in some ways, it's ambitious. And again, like we talked about last time with Funny People, I admire movies that try and do something a little bit different.
Sure.
And Geely does.
I think Geely, though, it suffers from just being a bad movie. I don't mean that – I know that sounds kind of odd, but it's a bad movie. It's not the worst movie.
Right.
I just,
Well, it was called the worst movie because so many people wanted to pile on it for a number of reasons. People hated Ben Affleck. People hated him and Jennifer Lopez together. It's a bad movie. It has a terrible title that people can't pronounce. But a lot of the people who make the jokes about Geely, including some of these douchebag critics, never saw the movie.
Right.
It's just an easy thing to point to and say, haha, that sucks.
What's a worse movie, Geely or Jersey Girl?
Oh, heavens.
Because those came out around the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they both were
Jersey Girl actually got pushed back because the Weinstein Company was trying to distance itself.
The what company?
I'm sorry. At the time, it was Miramax.
Okay. But I wanted to say it, actually.
Yeah.
The Grindhouse. The Weinstein Company.
Oh, sorry. My friends at the Weinstein.
Your friends at the Weinstein Company.
At the time, it was Miramax. They were trying to distance themselves from Geely and Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez as a couple, and in fact, I think cut back on a lot of Jennifer Lopez's stuff. So she dies fairly early in the movie, and she was spoilers for Jersey Girl. She wasn't supposed to, I don't think, originally. But
I never saw it.
Oh, have you really never
video?
Seen it?
No, I have seen it, but I was going to make a joke. It's in my video queue tonight. Now I can't watch it.
I want to say Geely is possibly a worse movie.
Okay.
But it also tries to do more. It's more interesting to me. If I had to rewatch one of them, I don't know. That's tough. At least Jersey Girl has, like, Liv Tyler in it.
That's why I'm a co-host. I bring the tough questions.
Yeah, you really are putting me to the wall here.
Back to the town, though.
Yes.
Is the town violent?
Yes.
Is the town graphic?
In its violence?
In its, you know, in its language, in its subject matter?
No. I mean, it tries to be kind of gritty, but I wouldn't say it's all that.
Yeah.
Gritty.
I found it interesting, though, that you're right, because different TV shows and stuff have always mentioned that you should go see this movie, and this movie is definitely, and of course, I think that's also, the movie's, if you say, I've not seen The Town, but if you say the movie's good, I believe you, but could it also be because there has been a few weeks where there's really been nothing that's come out, like there's no, this might be the first kind of more... not respectable, but more dramatic type of movie for the fall season coming out.
It's well done, and it's very commercial, and there's very little in it that you haven't seen before, except for some good performances and a good sense of place. But it's one of those movies that, like, it's a very Hollywood movie, and it's like, boy, if every Hollywood movie were this good...
Mm-hmm.
That it didn't talk down to me. It treated me like an adult. It was a little bit smarter than the average, you know, sort of Hollywood movie. If they were all this good, we would really have nothing to complain about.
Sure.
Is it great? I don't know. We may get to the end of the year and The Town could end up on my top 10 list because it's been a bad year. I did like the movie. I've thought about it a lot in the 24 hours since I've seen it.
It's interesting. I was, my wife actually recorded on the DVR. She recorded Ellen. The TV show Ellen.
Okay.
Which, why would you record Ellen?
Her talk show, not the, her the talk show sitcom.
No, these friends of mine. She did not record. No, the talk show Ellen from last week sometime.
Okay.
The reason she recorded this, and just to kind of defend my wife and myself for having watched part of Ellen, was because her mom and her sister were actually in the audience.
Oh.
Her brother got tickets, and it's one of the giveaway shows, and they got some free stuff.
Cool.
So we're watching... Ellen looking specifically in this one area and fast forwarding stuff, but I actually pressed play at one point where Ellen is talking about, she's on a little chair. Oh, by the way, she does this dance. I have never seen Ellen. I don't want to turn this into an Ellen bashing podcast, but like she does a dance to Tupac's California Love. I think it's California Love.
Okay.
And she's just dancing and she knows all the words. It's very weird because you got to get the, you get the idea that she's, I don't know, like you
gay.
No. No, you get that she's very straight and black and from the hood. When she says, like, City of Compton, and I'm watching Ellen sing City of Compton, I can't sing. And there's all these, like, white middle-class suburban moms around her, and they're all kind of doing their own dance to it. I'm like, this is very surreal and bizarre.
That's what Tupac Shakur had in mind.
I believe
right before he died.
Anyway, I'm sorry to kind of bring that up. I just found the dancing to be very bizarre and surreal, and I'd never seen it. I don't really know anything about it except from what I hear from Greg Fitzsimmons talking on Stern as a former head writer or something for the show and how she's kind of a witch. But the reason I bring this up is because Ellen had said that she saw The Town and that she recommended that everyone see it.
Oh.
And I didn't know, and again, having not talked to you, I just was like, wow, that's a really, again, having seen Ellen dance to Tupac, and now she's recommending The Town. Like, who is this show for? Because I don't know if it's for my mom or my wife's mom or, like, you know, the middle class, you know.
Well, but that's what's kind of good about a movie like The Town is that I think it does satisfy. I mean, a lot of people still aren't going to like it, obviously. But it is the kind of movie that satisfies, I think, the average person who maybe doesn't go to a lot of movies. But they'll enjoy it because it's well done. But also people like us who see a lot of movies and who want something that's just a little smarter than, you know, the average movie.
And for the record, I think that it's good that she said that because people like that probably should see The Town or movies that. And not just everything is like Me and Marley or Marley and Me or, you know, just kind of the pap that, the you know, settles for movies these days for America.
So I'm happy to see Ben Affleck bouncing back a little.
Yeah.
Because I was with him even through the dark times.
What was the last movie he made before
You know, he's done, like, character parts in a lot of movies in the last several years. So he was in Extract.
Okay.
He had a little part in Smokin' Aces. He played George Reeves in Hollywoodland.
Yeah.
Which is not a movie I liked, but I thought he was the best thing about it.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually really good in that movie, and that was sort of the movie that started his whole path to redemption. Because before that, it got bad. He was eventually in, like, straight-to-DVD movies. And
well, the last thing I saw him was Boiler Room, so...
Oh, well, then it's been a while. You need to catch up on your Affleck. You need to check out a little movie called Paycheck. That one's awesome.
I know that I should always be closing. ABC. Actually, I like that movie.
I do too. I think that's a good movie. Yeah, and that guy went on to direct nothing else of note.
Oh, really?
No, he made a movie with Meryl Streep and Uma Thurman called Prime that I managed to avoid.
What director are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we're talking about Richard Donner.
Ooh.
Director of Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut. Not the version that came out in theaters. Because tonight we are talking about a movie that is cherished and beloved.
Yes.
By
we're talking about
many of our generation.
Beloved.
The movie Beloved, directed by Jonathan Demme. Many people in our generation hold this movie very near and dear to their hearts, and that is The Goonies.
The Goonies.
From 1985.
From 1985. The year the Bears won the Super Bowl.
That's
just
right.
Just an FYI
Chicago
for all you.
Represent. Also the year Back to the Future came out. So no other movie counts. Why did anyone bother putting out a movie after the Back to the Future? Why didn't movies stop?
Right, because Back to the
after
Future
Back
is
to the Future.
By the way, I also think it's interesting that whenever we do a podcast together, and maybe it's just me because I'm kind
it's
of
definitely
borderline,
just
you know, challenged, but we never, I always make the joke movies, like we don't get to the real movie until after making about 10 joke movies, like we're effing Beloved. I was almost going to say Amistad. I don't know why, it just popped in my head. We're effing Amistad tonight. But we're not, it's
that's,
The Goonies.
That's racist.
I am sorry.
There is, I don't know if it's an actual convention or if it's just some sort of online movement, but there's this like 3G thing that's going on right now. I think it's a convention. It's a celebration, like 3G celebration. I probably should have found out what it was called before I pressed record. celebrating Ghostbusters, Gremlins, and Goonies. Like these three movies that people of our generation love because they grew up on them. And I think that's really interesting because all three of those movies, I think, are work in very different ways.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like,
I classify them all very differently in my own mind.
I was unaware of it, and I think that I almost can – you might – I'm positive you would disagree with me, but I think Goonies and Gremlins are more similar than Ghostbusters. But you'd probably say Gremlins and Ghostbusters are more similar than Goonies.
No, I might not disagree with you. I would say Gremlins is somewhere right in the middle.
Yeah. It just seems like Goonies and Gremlins is way more for kids.
Goonies especially. Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Do you want to dive right in?
At the 18-minute mark, let's dive right in.
Can I talk about Louis C.K. jokes some more?
You can. Here's I guess the way I want to start the conversation about Goonies.
Okay.
To what extent is it possible to revisit
the most extent
a movie that you once loved? And be able to see it objectively at all.
Like detach yourself from your
previous
love for it. I think it's impossible to. And I think that showed itself to me when I watched Goonies today with you.
Yeah.
Because it really, like, I'm acknowledging flaws and issues and things that don't work and things that are so cliched and dumb. But, and I feel like I don't want to jump right. I mean, honestly, like, if this is the kind of the crux of the podcast, I hate to kind of spill the beans on the Goonies caper, but it still works for me if only because the movie, and I am one of the persons I think you referenced in your introduction, that this movie is cherished and is beloved by our generation, specifically me. I have such good, fond memories of this movie that watching this today with you, I tried to be the objective person. And again, I am not a critic. I don't claim to be one, but I'm
pretty sure you say that on every podcast.
Well, I got to let people know so they don't, you know, try and sue me for defamation?
In federal court?
In a federal court. It's a social network joke.
That's right.
So yeah, I think that's nearly impossible. Did you have the same reaction to Goonies when you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was a kid in 1985, I loved The Goonies.
Okay.
Like, I loved it.
Do you always say The Goonies or do you say Goonies? Because sometimes I just say...
A lot of times I say Goonies.
Okay, good. I don't want to be like some...
Listen.
You're very eruditic.
Yeah, listen, F this movie listeners. Don't be confused. If we say The Goonies or Goonies, we're talking about the same movie.
Interchangeable.
Yeah, these are not two different movies. No, I really loved it. Because what kid wouldn't, especially what, like, 8-year-old boy wouldn't, because it's all about going on this adventure and going down, like, a fun water slide.
Right.
And finding gold.
Although it does take a while to get to that water slide.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's actually pretty short-lived once you're there.
In fact, the one thing that stuck out to me in my objectivity trying to watch it more kind of from a grown-up perspective was it's a long movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't really notice that or realize that or, you know, understand that when I was a kid.
Right. I feel like watching it now, it's not even that I'm enjoying it or that the movie is even working for me. All it is like a checklist in my head of memories. Mm. I remember this line. I remember this scene. I know what comes next. I'm familiar with this. Maybe I liked this when I was little, but it's not like I'm caught up in the story or I'm laughing at the jokes or I'm having a good time. It's purely familiarity. And that's probably true even of movies that that I like still. But I will say, a couple weeks ago, I saw Back to the Future again, and that movie still totally works for me. Like, I'm still caught up in the story and enjoying every little moment of that movie.
Quick side note, how often do you watch Back to the Future?
Pretty often. I don't see why I would.
Like, once every 6 months?
Yeah, maybe more. Especially, like, when it comes on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you...
Back to the Future 3 was on TV last night. Ruined. I don't even know what channel it was on. Just it was like standard def. It was the gray bars on the side. Yeah. But I ended up watching about half an hour of it.
And Back to the Future 3 makes... It depresses me.
You know what? Let's talk about that on another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so... But I will say, I think The Goonies, and I think for the reasons you said earlier, it's this fun story about a treasure hunt and a treasure map and pirates and those types of things. And granted, there might be some checklist things about that story, kind of like that these kids have to go down this path, literally and figuratively, to get to the pirate ship. But I think that story... The rich stuff.
Yeah.
That story in and of itself is compelling enough because it's a standard kind of existing story that's stood the test of time in both books and movies and things like that.
Right. So. But unfortunately... The whole story is populated by little more than, like, embarrassingly bad slapstick and 12-year-old kids going, ah! I mean, there's so much of that in this movie.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the whole second half of the movie is nothing but, like, something pops up and they go, ah! Or there's something dangerous and they go, ah!
But do you
and
think
then
that
Data has an invention and it doesn't work. Like,
do you think the movie... How do I put this? And I hate to kind of like, I don't want to belittle Goonies or belittle a genre of movies.
I do.
I think for, in some respects, the defense could be, this is a movie for kids. And obviously you yourself, who are a very intelligent, handsome, woodsy smelling person at age in your 30s. I won't say your real age.
Thank
or
you.
Wait. Right now, you're obviously into film and you have seen a ton of stuff. But when you were 8 and you were still a smart kid, or however old you are, 9 or whatever, it worked for you really well, and I could argue that this movie was geared towards you then, and it worked for you then, it worked for me. I still find it fun, but again, I do think, and this is the caveat I'll say, that I watch it now, and I watch some of the scenes where, like, they're in the attic with the rain,
right.
And it makes me feel very much I'm in that same place I was when I was, 8 or 9 years old, because it was
so like, you're alone choking on a Dorito.
That was me. That happened to me, by the way, not a couple times, just once. I was by
today
myself
while we were watching.
Listen, real quick story. I was by myself when I was a kid. My parents worked. I was eating Doritos in the dark watching Dennis the Menace, the black and white show on Nickelodeon, and I choked on a Dorito. I went to the bathroom. I was coughing up blood. It was stuck in my throat, but eventually sogged up, and I coughed out a bloody pink Dorito. After it scratched my throat.
Did you re-eat it?
Oh, what would you do?
I mean, Doritos are delicious.
They're very good for you.
So now anytime there's a choking on a Dorito reference, you know what we're talking about.
Thank you very much.
It's not a euphemism, everyone.
But you choked on a Dorito last night. I don't know what that, I don't know how that would be.
I don't either. So here's what I would say to that. I think you're right. And the movie is obviously geared at kids, and it works because it worked for me when I was 8. I loved it. There was a time, I guess when I was eight, where there was a day where I like wanted to run away from home because every 8-year-old did, and I packed a backpack,
a bindle,
just a kerchief on a stick. I don't know what I put in there. The only thing I specifically remember putting in this bag to carry me through my new life as an alone 8-year-old, it was the novelization of Goonies, which was like from the library. I don't even think we owned it. Maybe it was my brother's.
So you weren't only a runaway, but you were also a thief.
I was a bibliophile.
A bibliophile thief.
So I liked Goonies, right? But you could also make the argument that, like, kids like anything. In theaters right now is a movie that you've talked about before, maybe not on the podcast, a CGI cartoon called Alpha and Omega.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm sure if you brought a 6-year-old to Alpha and Omega, he would like it. That doesn't make it a good movie. So just because Goonies works for kids, I'm not disagreeing with you because, yeah, it works, I guess, for the intended audience. But at the same time, like, a great movie works for everyone.
Right.
Look at the Toy Story movies.
I think that's a more valid point. A great movie works for everyone. Because I still think also Alpha and Omega, and that's, I don't even know if that's good or bad. I can't really say if it is or not.
You really can't?
It might be great.
You really can't say
it might be the Citizen Kane of horribly animated CGI wolf movies. But I think that, and again, this might sound kind of condescending.
You're going to talk down to me now?
No, I'm saying pretentious. I'm actually talking you up. It might sound pretentious.
Thank you.
I think you were not one of those kids who would have gone to Alpha and Omega and loved it. I think you were probably the kind of kid, and I would like to say I was too, but let's be honest, I had horrible taste when I was a kid. But you were probably the kind of kid that would have discerned between good and bad.
Possibly.
Because I think all kids at some point, when you're a kid, I think there's nothing, everything you see is great because you're a kid.
Right.
And you have no taste. And at a certain point, you kind of are, you know, more discerning and like, I didn't like that. I think it's almost a revelation when a kid realizes that they cannot like something, that they don't just have to absorb and, you know, digest everything that's given to them. For a while, for example, I never saw one bad episode of the cartoon Tailspin. I thought Tailspin.
Oh, I always thought it was DuckTales.
Either one.
I always thought it was There's No Bad DuckTales.
You know what? I think you're right. There wasn't. Scrooge McDuck?
Until Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
I never saw that.
I didn't either.
But on WGN, after school,
then they could chew.
It was like DuckTales. No, it was like Rescue Rangers, DuckTales, Tailspin. It was like a block of just those characters, and I loved it. And there wasn't like, and then it's, you know, like, but my point is valid. I think that once you realize that, like, oh, I don't need to like everything, and some of the things don't necessarily work for me. I still think Goonies is slightly above Alpha and Omega.
No,
and
it absolutely
slightly,
is. And that's, oh my gosh, it's light years above it. And that's what I was going to say. And maybe we're not talking enough about Goonies, or maybe I'm giving movies of the 80s too much credit, but I think there is a difference in the product that kids now get at the movies.
Okay.
When we were kids, we got a movie like Goonies, which was, you know, produced by Steven fucking Spielberg and directed by Richard Donner, who was A-list at the time.
And he did a lot of, like, adult action movies.
Exactly.
Too, right?
There's production value in that movie. And kids now get Alpha and Omega because it's just like, well, it's something we can put in a theater.
Right.
And kids don't give a shit, right? They'll watch anything. You know, VHS kind of changed a lot of things. Even Walt Disney started just pillaging their own catalog and just putting out these straight-to-video sequels. It didn't matter if they were shit, and they were, because it was something that people would buy, because parents would buy it, because it was something to show their kids for 90 minutes. I think that has changed kids' movies.
Can I talk really briefly, total side note, not about Goonies for 2 seconds? The other day,
why start talking about Goonies now? We're only a half hour in.
The other day, I saw on TV on ABC Family, they were showing Aladdin.
Yes,
and Aladdin was one of the Disney movies, like the new generation or new era Disney movies.
The Renaissance, post Little Mermaid.
Absolutely, the post Little Mermaid. I'm just repeating what you said because I don't know what these words mean. It was Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, absolutely. Aladdin was a movie that I remember really, really liking. And there's a lot to like about it, but I encourage everyone, I won't say too much about it, I encourage everyone to kind of put on that movie for 20 minutes. It is, your reaction to it now is, I guarantee is very different.
And this is in no way me trying to be above it, but I think even when I saw Aladdin, I was not a huge fan. I didn't hate it, but I was just like,
there's a lot of things.
I don't see what the big deal is.
It's not only so much, well, I'll start with saying the animation. I guess we're spoiled with Toy Stories and all the CGI stuff. My God, the animation in it is good. I'm thinking this was all drawn by hand, you know, for the most part. I know there's some very early on animations or computer stuff in there, but just like there's Robin Williams is like an insane manic. Right. I'm not a Robin Williams fan.
No. Why would you be?
Right. Anyway, that's my little quick side note. Just to encourage you and, you know, maybe email us or something what your thoughts are on Aladdin. Yeah, because why? I don't know. Disregard all this. We're talking about Goonies, Donner.
Let's go back to the Goonies because you actually said something really interesting as we were watching
today.
I'm not going to tell you what that was.
Fudge.
Email us at if this movie. Have a great show. What? Have a great show. That's how I close it. I encourage the listeners to have a great show.
Have a great show and see you at the movies.
In the early moments of Goonies, the kids are like swearing and they live on their own in a parentless world and they get into crazy trouble and they say shit a lot. And
yeah, I mean, no, they don't say shit a lot. They say the word shit a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you had said like, yeah, they don't make kids movies like this anymore. And aside from just the language, because I know people sort of lament that fact a lot, and rightly so, that it's like, oh, they would never make the Bad News Bears again today. Well, the joke's on you, because they totally did make the Bad News Bears again today.
And it was
today.
Better. I'm just kidding.
But that's true, that movies for kids now have no edge to them, really. And the Goonies kind of did. It was a PG movie where kids were in genuine danger and said shit a lot and glued on, you know, statue penises upside down.
Right, it's all very, like, stuff. Yeah. And it's something you said, too. I mean, the movie opens with the skull and crossbones. So, obviously, it's the same spirit of, like, a pirate adventure movie. Right. But the first scene, the very first scene of Goonies is what, Patrick?
Robert Davi hanging himself in a jail cell.
Which is, this is welcome to a children's movie. This is, like, a criminal that has a noose around his neck with, like, a suicide note.
Right.
And spoiler alert, he's not really dead.
Well, you know, the Goonies, anything with like Spielberg's name attached in the 80s post E.T., it's not even that it's so much like a kid's movie as that it was a family movie, that this was a movie that this, you know, this was supposed to be a movie for everyone.
Right, you take the whole kid.
And now family movies that aren't Pixar are like Shrek. And the reason they're family movies is they're dumb and have fart jokes, so kids like them, and they're cartoons. And then they have, like, empty pop culture references that adults get. And so we're supposed to feel like our intelligence isn't being insulted.
None of this is justified. They just say things that, like, I get that.
Get
that
it, adults?
No, relevance to the movie.
And that's a family movie now.
That's Shrek, for sure. Shrek is... I have one word review for Shrek.
What is it?
Shit.
Whoa.
Thank you.
The first two letters are the same, but then it takes a departure.
So the movie opens with the guy hanging himself and they say shit a lot. They say the shit word a lot.
And the kids are put in danger throughout the movie.
Right.
They have several brushes with death.
Jump ahead a little bit. There's a whole scene where Chunk is, I think it's Chunk. He's stuck in a freezer in a restaurant in this, you know, like the jumping off point for the adventure.
Right.
And there's a dead body with a bullet hole in his forehead and this thing falls on top of him. And for some reason, we turned out okay.
And then later in the same movie, he's stuffed into the trunk of a car by the murderous thieves with that same dead body.
Right. It's nonstop. Yeah. Danger and kind of things you would never see today.
Right. The closest thing is like the Harry Potter movies.
Right. But that's fantasy, too. It's just completely
right. Well,
like,
so is Goonies. You know it's not a true story, right?
Wait. I thought there was a one-eyed... wait. What?
One-eyed what?
Willie did the what now?
I'm glad you mentioned Chunk.
Thank you.
Because as a kid, my favorite Goonie was Chunk. Did you have a favorite Goonie?
I don't think so. I think, honestly, this is how vanilla I was as a kid. I think my favorite Goonie was Sean Astin's
character. Well, he was the head Goonie and the most asthmatic. And you identified with his weakness.
Yeah, you know, I'm a pretty weak kid. I have exercise-induced asthma.
When we would go to Missouri and take our one-day trip to the water slide and play Goonies on the water slide, I was always Chunk.
Which, by the way, just a quick side note again, like, that Goonies, there might have been this, but nowhere around Chicago or Illinois or apparently Missouri. But you've got this movie called Goonies. This great end scene with water slides and a pirate ship and, like, they're walking the plank and it just looks like crystal clear water and it's so fun.
Right.
Why wasn't there a theme park, an amusement ride, like a water park that capitalized on that? Because I would have gone every day.
Goonie Park.
Goonie Park.
Yeah.
I would still go today.
Me too.
Thank you.
Goonie Park. Chunk was my favorite Goonie. And he's still very funny. As
that's also because
today.
You're Jewish, though. And that's
yeah, that was something we picked up on today. I guess as a kid, and maybe it's been a while since I've seen Goonies, like, there are many overt references to the fact that Chunk is Jewish, but I missed a lot of them when I was a kid. Pretty much all of them.
Right. And it's weird that the Sean Astin, I think Mikey is his name, yeah. Sean Astin's character, he is yeah. a horrible anti-Semite. And I don't think it's like when you're 8 years
old
watching this.
Goonies, it's central drama.
It gives it a little more, it's bitter now. It's bitter in my mouth.
So Chunk is my favorite Goonie. But something I never liked about the movie is that he's sidelined for the whole movie. They all go on this great adventure, and right. Chunk is left on his own.
Ooh, Chuck is a spy on NBC.
You guys should watch Chuck. Chunk is left on his own, and he doesn't yeah. get to be a part of the cool adventure. He gets this other story.
And the other story is bitter and angry and just...
The other story is Sloth. John Matuszak, the football player, as, like, the... hideously deformed.
I thought that was Mr. Papadopoulos.
Monster, who is sweet and lovable and just wants a candy bar,
which is total Spielberg. Because
yeah,
we
but I have always, even as a kid, I hated all the stuff with Sloth. I still do. I don't see what function he serves in that movie. If they wanted like the kid to befriend a monster, I'm okay with that. But then I think they should have crossed over. And just made it a monster. Don't make it like a real guy who's deformed and has suffered a horrible life of abuse and is right. kept chained in a room.
By his brothers and his mother.
Right.
He's just, yeah, he's...
And then at the end, there's a weird reference to like the cradle will fall and he remembers like falling...
Being abused.
Possibly being deformed and he throws his mom off a boat.
If anything, Chunk should
from
have
a train.
Befriended a monster like an octopus.
Yes.
Maybe that would have been a better befriending...
So here's something else, and we can go back to Sloth if you want. I just want to say
do.
Fuck Sloth. I've never liked Sloth. And all these people who run around pretending to love Goonies, or maybe actually loving Goonies, who are like, Baby Ruth, go fuck yourselves. There's better lines in Goonies to quote, okay?
Like the bucket line with Trent's bucket.
Was that his name?
Taking a ride up Troy's. Once we ride up Troy's bucket. Okay, I saw Goonies in a theater. I think I've said this on the podcast before, but when I was a kid, I loved movies. We didn't go to very many, but we did see Goonies in a theater.
Well, it was a depression. I mean, it was a bad time for America.
My mom took myself and my siblings to like a matinee of Goonies. And of course, I fucking loved Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
But I was positive for years after seeing Goonies that there were these two scenes in the movie that didn't show up when I would watch the movie in heavy rotation on HBO years later. One of those scenes was the octopus attack. The other was a scene where they go to a convenience store. And I specifically remember Chunk licking ice cream out of like little cartons and then putting them back. I remember that. And I was positive I saw that in the theater. So today I was, because that those scenes are not in the movie. They are in the deleted scenes on the DVD.
They call them outtakes, yeah.
Right. And apparently if you see the movie on the Disney Channel, they're like restored in the movie.
There's a reason they're out.
Yeah. They're not good scenes.
That was in the original theatrical cut, those scenes?
That's the thing. I can't confirm that. I was trying to confirm it online today because maybe I just am getting my memory wrong. I mean, I was only 8, so maybe I saw it on the Disney Channel once.
Could you have seen it maybe like in the... I know trailers were so different back then, but would they have shown
no,
that stuff?
No, I mean, I particularly the convenience store scene, I remember way better even than the octopus scene.
That octopus scene, by the way, octopus scene.
It's really
horrible.
Really bad. They
yeah.
were really smart to take it out. But I can't confirm if those scenes were ever in a theatrical print of the movie or if maybe my memory is just jumbled up. And I caught it on the Disney Channel, and I saw those scenes, and I've somehow got it in my head that I saw those in a theater. But if
this
you're
is why you should not do peyote, because this is what happens.
It made Goonies so much trippier.
Baby Ruth.
If you're listening to this podcast, and you too saw Goonies theatrically in 1985, and you can confirm that those scenes were in the movie, please email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com because I didn't do a ton of research because I was doing it as we were watching the movie.
And I was so bored.
He was so annoyed. He was like, get off the computer.
Pay attention to me.
But I need to know if those scenes were ever in the theatrical version.
Back to Chunk really fast, too.
Yeah.
You're saying that he gets this other B plot.
Yes.
And he's with Sloth. But
yes.
he's also, I found it interesting that he is... not prescient, but he is the kind of character who's like, guys, let's not do this. And there's murderers in there, and there's bullet holes on
a truck.
He's
supposed to be like the Frady cat, but really he's the fucking voice of reason.
Right, he's like, let's not do this, and it just, it's completely
as you pointed out, Chunk is always right.
Right, Chunk is completely right, and there's like, fuck you, Chunk, like, leave us alone. We want to have this adventure. It's our last day in Astoria. And by the way, I'll also say that I think that we can take the lessons from Goonies, and obviously the Goonies came out in 85, yeah. Reagan was president.
Right.
It's now 2010. Obama's America.
Right.
We're in the greatest recession ever.
Yeah.
I think that if America kind of dug down deep and pulled out a marble bag full of jewels, we'd save all of our homes.
Are you speaking metaphorically or
I'm speaking
an actual marble
I'm
bag
speaking
jewels.
An actual like okay. burl I'm sp- like a sack like a how do I put this like a ball bag no like a ball bag of jewels we could save America, you could save your home from foreclosure because that's what we always forget is the arcing thing. They're losing their home in this picturesque town of Astoria, Oregon.
That's why they have to go find One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff.
It's their last adventure as Goonies, which you pointed out something too, that the word Goonies, if anyone also knows this, we're asking a lot of information from the audience today. But
that's the point of this podcast. It's not for us to talk about Goonies. It's because we have a lot of unanswered questions about
Goonies. No desire to Google this, but if anyone knows why they're called the Goonies, I don't think it's ever brought up or ever explained.
Did they say something about they live on the Goondocks or something? What are the Goondocks?
I don't know.
Goondock Saints.
Goondock Saints.
That's what I'm thinking.
All Goons Day?
Goondock Saints.
But they're in this picturesque town, and apparently the evil teenager's evil father is going to buy all the homes and build a golf course, and they have to go on one last adventure, and they're moving away, and blah, blah, blah. But that's just like a really interesting... I actually think it's interesting, and not to get all political, but in 85 America, that didn't seem like that was a subject, like, that's not, I mean, the foreclosures weren't an issue, this whole...
Well, you would almost think that these rich guys who want to build a golf course are somewhat representative of Ronald Reagan America.
Right.
And I don't know if, like you said, if the movie's overly political, but maybe Spielberg was trying to sneak some stuff in, I don't know.
Spielberg.
He's pretty left.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. You saw Jurassic Park.
Those dinosaurs were strictly...
He's completely anti-science. That's left, right? No. Do I have that backwards?
That's crazy. Anyway, back to the Goonies. Your next point, Patrick, is... Well, that's a derailed political... You can tell we're not political people. We don't talk about
politics.
No,
we're barely Goonie people.
Okay, I'll say this about the Goonies. Going back to the first thing you said about this...
Real quick, I have a quote from the Goonies that I want to say.
I believe followed by
something vaguely racist out of the mouth of Data.
That's what I said. Booby traps.
Yeah, right? He can't speak English, and he's annoying.
So just what you said, it's cherished, it's beloved. I still think that I remember watching this. I don't know how my parents got this, but we had a copy of this on VHS. It wasn't purchased. It was taped off of... We didn't have HBO. We weren't rich like you. We might have taped it off of, like, if it was on Channel 7, like, the weekend movies.
Yeah,
it was the Sunday night movie.
Right.
But we watched this it seems like every free second we had, we watched Goonies, you know?
Yeah.
And my sister, of course, watched Grease 2, which, I don't know if you had a sister like this. Okay. So I'm
a horrible sister?
My sister is not horrible. Wait, do you say horrible? My sister is horrible. Okay. So first of all, I am the youngest in my family. My sister is 3 years older. So a lot of... influences, because she was older, she got to pick and choose things, and it always turned out to be Grease 2 and Garth Brooks. So, like, we went to high school together, and she'd wake up early to shower first, and she'd blast Garth Brooks. I know the lyrics to this day to every Garth Brooks song not on purpose.
That's what you get for showering with your sister.
You told them we were going to talk about this. Anyway, so Goonies, we watched a ton of times, and I just remember, like, it was always on, it was always just, like, kind of ignored... because you're playing, but it's on in the background, and it's just this great feeling. It's this warm, but you're right. It's pure nostalgia. It is completely...
That's the thing, right? I mean, is the Goonies good at all? That's the question. Like, is it good at all, or is it just, we loved it when we were 8, and so...
I think it's good.
You still do?
I still do, and I think it's flawed, and I think it's definitely got some...
I honestly can't answer that question. I swear to God I can't.
No. I think it's got some cliched parts and some weird, choices and things like that, but I still think it's a really fun, exciting movie for kids and for imagination. I think when I was a kid, too, watching this, it made me – I grew up by a forest preserve, and I think that it was in that same spirit of like, okay, let's watch this movie and then let's go out and build a fort and kind of dig in the ground. And then there was these big cement tubes back in the forest that were like, I assumed were part of a public works project from years prior.
Part of a dead bodies project.
There were these giant cement tubes in the back of the forest. And I want to say that the high school burnouts would go back there and smoke. And there was all this like pornography back there too. So this is what a kid should be like at eight years old. Should be discovering porn and, you know, cigarette butts and tubes. And I just want treasure. I just want adventure. I just want to find.
Porn is the treasure.
Well,
you had to find One Eyed Willie's porn.
X marks the spot.
Wasn't one of the magazines called One Eyed Willie? But like, okay, so I did a podcast on Ghostbusters with JB, and that movie still, I think, absolutely holds up.
Yeah.
Or am I kidding myself?
And no, I think Ghostbusters absolutely hold up.
I think the jokes are still funny in Ghostbusters. I think the story still works in Ghostbusters. I don't know if that's the case for Goonies. I swear to God, I can't be objective.
What's
happening to me?
Bill Murray, and you've got...
Yeah, but this movie's got Martha Plimpton.
But I mean, that's the point. You've got a movie. The Goonies is on the backs of kids. And I think that they are... They're doing a good job as
But most of those kids went on to, like, actual careers.
Well.
Half, if not more.
And define actual.
Okay, Josh Brolin, I believe, is an Academy Award nominee.
Josh Brolin is the most successful, I would say, from that.
Right. And, you know, that's only recently, because he went through some years where he was, like, playing the villain in Into the Blue. So Josh Brolin.
I played Jessica Alba's ass.
Corey Feldman, I mean, you can say now is a national joke because he is, but he had a real career. He starred in lots of movies. Yeah. Martha Plimpton had a career. Sean Astin had a career.
Data,
you know.
He was short step. For Short Round.
Was on Head of the Class. And I don't know. Short Round, I think, was before Goonies.
Oh. Consider me corrected.
But then he was on Head of the Class. I mean, anybody on Head of the Class made it.
Then he went on to direct Varsity Blues.
That's right. Jeff Cohen, who plays Chunk, obviously didn't do much acting after this and became, I believe, a successful entertainment lawyer.
But I want to say also that
Cary Green went on to be very hot.
Very foxy. Chunk, you know, watching it again from this vantage point of being in my... late 20s, let's say.
Sure.
I don't want to call myself in a corner.
What?
When I was in the military in Iraq, I was in my early 20s, so it only makes sense that I'm in my late 20s now. Chunk is one of the best actors in the movie, also.
Yeah,
I think he's really
natural and funny. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny lines he says and a lot of, like, react. I mean, there's obviously the slapsticky stuff and the truffle shuffle.
But it's so weird that the movie just wants to have so many jokes at his expense.
Yeah.
Like, same with Data. Like, there are so many jokes at the expense.
This movie is not helping slightly. By the way, his name is Chunk. He's the fat kid, and only Hollywood fat, because you compare him to any kid born after 98, and
he's positively svelte.
Yeah, he is definitely very fit. And they make him, but they demean him, and it's horrible. And it's like, and when you're a kid, you laugh at the truffle shuffle. You do, because it's like, oh, it's silly, and it's the guy lifting his shirt up, and even that
but even
by
the
itself
script demeans him, because he never stops talking about, like, food. I smell ice cream. I wish I had pizza.
When
his
my stomach's growling,
a pizza. When they find all the kids at the end, the family brings pizza. And Doug made a great point, because again, up until this viewing, I just assumed Chunk was Italian because his family shows up and they seem very ethnic in that Italian way, and they have a pizza. Forget the fact that it's Domino's and you can hardly call that Italian. You can hardly call that pizza.
Do you think that that's a product placement, by the way? Because I see lots of Pepsi and lots of Domino's. Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, it is a thing. I think it's just a testament to you being just open-minded and colorblind and very, very racist. No, what's the opposite of racist?
Racist.
Raceful.
Yeah, I'm very raceful.
You are. but yeah, Chunk is hilarious in the movie. And I don't know.
Really, everybody's good. I mean, I don't know that anybody in the movie is bad. It's a pretty talented
group. So my point, though,
is
that you talk about Ghostbusters. Obviously, the jokes hold up. And you got Bill Murray. And I think that anything with Bill Murray is going to be just two steps ahead of
especially Bill Murray and an elephant.
And an elephant?
Yeah. Larger than life. It's a movie that Bill Murray made. It's like you take a guy that doesn't want an elephant, right?
Is this where they drop...
And then you give him an elephant.
Is this where they drop the elephant from an airplane?
No.
Oh, what's that?
That would be Operation Dumbo Drop.
Oh, I love that movie.
You're confusing your elephant movies.
Oh, sorry.
Please don't.
But I think this movie is on the backs of kids, and I think it does work. in that respect.
So Steven Spielberg gained his success on the backs of children?
I think it's you can call it slave labor if you want to. I'm not going to. Don't put words in my mouth. But if you want to call it unfair to children. I also want to talk briefly about, after we watched it today, you watched the Cyndi Lauper video. Let's talk about that for 2 seconds.
Goonies are good enough?
And also in the movie, they're watching the video about them. It's very meta.
But even though there's no real mention of, like, Goonies in the song, no, it's a fascinating video because it's such a time capsule. Not only the fact that it's a video, but, like...
a whatio?
Yeah, it's in two parts. It's incredibly indulgent. It features the cast of the movie incorporated into the video, which is something that was very big in the 80s and that I always liked. It incorporates clips from the movie, which I also liked because, again, I didn't get to see a lot of movies. So if I would watch enough videos with clips from them, that was almost like seeing an extra trailer. And that was exciting for me. So it does all that. And it tells this story, but like basically recounts the story of the Goonies, but with Cyndi Lauper and her weird, like John Waters family. Only the villains are played by WWF wrestlers like Rowdy Roddy Piper and the Iron Sheik.
World Wildlife Fund?
And Nikolai Volkoff. And it's 1985, which was right at the crux of like the... rock
synergy.
Yeah, the synergy between rock and wrestling, where Vince McMahon teamed up with MTV, and Cyndi Lauper was right at the heart of it. She popped up at like wrestling events.
Yeah.
And then wrestlers were in her videos.
Well, Captain Lou was in, he makes an appearance in a couple of videos.
Yeah. There was a cartoon called Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. It was this whole thing that they tried to create, and I think Goonies Are Good Enough is the culmination of that marriage.
The video is fascinating, though, and not only because it is this John Waters family mixed with the wrestlers.
The whole video is the ugliest thing you've ever seen.
It is. It's also like it's two videos. It's a two-part thing,
right?
And this is what was on. It's by the way,
it's 12 minutes long.
The backstory is about creditors coming after. Right. Like it's all explained in
Spielberg
dialogue.
Makes a cameo.
Oh God, it's so awkward.
To prove that he's hip.
He's definitely hip with his big aviator glasses and his. Big hat, yeah.
It's terrible. No. But I miss that. I do miss that element of, like, 80s movies.
Well, now you've got the VMAs that were just on TV recently, and it's, you know, I don't want to make myself seem like some sort of curmudgeon and or, like, elitist film art, whatever, but the VMAs are bullshit. They're horrible. Chelsea Handler is the worst. She is unfunny. I assume she has a team of writers writing jokes for her, and there's no jokes.
No.
It's all just like, and this is something that my nieces and nephews watch. No one, and people that like award shows or like pop culture, maybe like us. But who is this for? What is this audience for? And you're making jokes about like sitting on the guy from True Blood's face, or him sitting on your face, and or whatever. It's just
funny.
It's just, it's so horrible. But now MTV has become Jersey Shore jokes, and
right, and
obviously their programming, their original programming has been around for a while. I would say probably 10 years. Back when TRL was still on, that was the last kind of death knell of the video era. But there's no videos. I don't know, like, what? Does MTV2 have videos on that?
Maybe.
Now?
I honestly have no idea.
Because I have seen, I think online, like, on YouTube, I've seen, like, some videos, like the Lady Gaga or the you know, that telephone video. That was a big premiere or something.
Right.
I watch out of my weird curiosity, but there's nothing like this that is out. Right. Like, the Goonies Are Good Enough video, which is a mess. But it's also... fun and like exciting because you know it's what is it like a couple years after the network premiered, so it's still in its infancy and still trying to figure out some things and find its way, so to speak. And of course,
it's cross promoting with a Steven Spielberg movie that's going to be a big success.
And this was honestly the first baby footsteps to herpes in a hot tub with the Jersey Shore cast. So it's now we've come full circle. What full circle? That makes no sense.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. So Goonies still just exists as this time capsule for me, and I can watch it and. It's not that I'm miserable while it's on, but I truly don't know, even in doing this podcast, if it's just residual affection because I did really like it when I was a kid, or does that mean that the movie still works? You know what I mean? If the movie truly was awful, would I even be able to stomach it now?
I don't think so. I think that
you're probably right.
I really do think that if it was an awful movie, and this is an interesting debate because we came into this just discussing Goonies, but now it's become this kind of dialogue about. Is the movie good or not?
And is it good enough?
Is it good
for
enough
for you? Is it good enough for me?
I do think it's good enough. I think that you're not good enough.
Maybe it's Maybe it's me that's
don't
changed.
Project your not piece of Goonies. Shitness on the Goonies.
Listen, the Goonies stays the same. It's me that's changed.
I wish, though, and I think that, you know, I wish that there was movies that were made like this. Maybe not, you know, this
kind. Yeah, there are no, like, there's no Goonies for the current generation.
No, I don't think.
And what's weird is that every, I think, new generation, honestly, latches onto the Goonies as their Goonies. Because I've noticed, you know, people much younger than me talk about how that's their movie. And it's like, well, no, actually, that's mine. But
right, because I was the same age as, or actually, you were a little younger than the.
Right, because I was of the age when that movie came out. But, I mean, I guess, you know, it has lived on. So it certainly speaks to kids and continues to do so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting conversation because I watch it again today and I just see so many problems.
Right.
And I think if were I an adult in 1985 when the Goonies came out and I saw it, I would say this isn't very good. You know, this is noisy and obnoxious.
But would you also have to put yourself insulting. In the context of 1985, though?
Right.
Because what else was coming? I mean, disregard Back to the Future.
Well, you're 1 year out from Romancing the Stone.
What, you also love the sequel to Romancing the Stone.
I do not. That was Jewel of the Nile. Which we also saw in 1985. So I saw two movies in 1985. And by the way, so at 8 years old, I was able to discern that Duel of the Nile I did not like.
Yeah.
At eight, I was like, wait,
which is the first one?
Romancing the Stone.
And when did that come out?
84.
Okay.
Oh, the sequel. And I loved it. And I've probably told this story, but again.
You love Kathleen Turner.
Just from body heat. I was like, is she going to get fucked in the ass in Romancing the Stone? Because that's my favorite scene.
Sure. You're going to cut the things I say, but you're not going to cut that.
It happened in body heat. Okay.
So did my thing. It happened.
Romancing the Stone. Again, I know I've said this before, but we would go to maybe one movie a year. So it was always this big discussion as to what that movie was going to be. And I always had very strong opinions, obviously. I saw Back to the Future in 85, right?
Yeah.
I saw three movies in 85. I'm positive.
I saw, you know, real quick, I saw Back to the Future 2, and all I remember about it, aside from, like, I really enjoyed it, but I saw it with my two sisters, and it was in this theater, I want to say it's Barrington Square 6.
Okay, that's where we saw a lot of our movies, which was $1. We'd go once a year and pay $1.
And it's now closed, but I was so cold in the entire movie. That's all I remember about Back to the Future.
Were you eating Doritos?
I choked on a Dorito. Listen, my parents worked. They were hard workers. They had a furniture store in Geneva. And they would, my sister played basketball, my older two siblings were away.
Didn't they buy oversized Doritos?
They bought big Doritos to try to prevent me from eating them, but it only gave me a challenge. I wanted to eat them even more so.
This Dorito shall be my Everest.
But I was watching TV, and it's like, of course, it's winter, it's pitch black outside because it's winter at like 4:30, and I'm eating this Dorito, and it gets caught in my throat. What would you do if you were me?
Die.
Well, no, you'd eat the Dorito after you coughed it up, because eventually your saliva will soften.
You know
edges.
Me. You know I would have given up. I would have said, well, this is it.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going
Patrick
out.
Gives up a lot.
No, listen, in 1984, we were going to go see a movie, and I found out the day of that it was going to be Romancing the Stone, and I didn't know anything about the movie except the poster, which was like Michael Douglas, a dude I didn't know, and
right.
Kathleen Turner, a woman I didn't know, swinging on a fucking vine. And I cried in my bedroom.
You had Pitfall, though, didn't you?
I didn't have an Atari, okay? I cried in my room because I was so upset that our one movie was going to be wasted on this fucking movie that I did not want to see.
Oh, you didn't want to see it based on that? Like, the Vine thing didn't make you, like, I thought you love Vines.
You're a Vine guy. It looked like a romance novel.
Oh, yeah.
Intentionally so.
Right.
I didn't even know what those were, but fuck them. Anyway, we saw the movie and I loved it. And then a year later, it was like, well, we have to go see Jewel of the Nile because the kids all really liked Romancing the Stone, even though maybe eight-year-old kids shouldn't have seen it because it's like people fucking and dudes getting their hands bitten off by alligators and shit. And I don't think any of us like Jewel of the Nile. So even at eight, I could say Goonies good, Jewel of the Nile bad.
You know what's interesting about Michael Douglas? And obviously he's had a very interesting, very big career.
Yeah.
And now he has cancer and it's horrible. Yeah. I've actually realized, and this is going to sound like such a weird thing, and maybe I'm just a dummy for saying this on a podcast, but like I really like him. I never really thought I really liked him. But the other day I was craving to watch something, and I realized what I was craving was to watch something with Michael Douglas in it. Like, I'm like, I want to watch The American President. Or I want to watch, you know, just something that he is like a good, plays a good charming guy.
So you did not watch Basic Instinct?
I did not watch
Basic Instinct. You did not watch Falling Down?
I know.
Did you watch Black Rain?
I watched The Game.
Did you watch The Game? Did you watch Shining Through with Melanie Griffith?
I watched it twice.
Did you watch One Night at McCool's?
Four times.
The In-Laws?
Nope.
Wall Street?
5 times. But no, I just realized, and that's a really dumb thing to say, that Michael Douglas had a storied career, and I...
Disclosure?
Disclosure. That was actually... I think that's the reason why I kind of, like, he popped in my subconscious.
You were thinking about Disclosure?
I never saw Disclosure, actually.
It's a fascinating movie to watch.
Is it Demi Moore, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Michael Crichton book, and it's interesting. Like, again, it's that whole 1994 idea of what the internet is and, like, what computers can do.
It's like,
and
the whole,
it's scary.
The net, like the Sandra Bullock movie. It's like, the net's what it can do. Don't trust anyone, especially the net.
So I do want to say, I feel like I've gone out on a ledge a little bit by saying that I'm not sure if The Goonies is good.
You might get some negative email responses. By the way, what's the email address to Flame Patrick?
FthisMoviePodcast@gmail.com. I feel like The Goonies is one of those movies. It's Goonie Mail. I feel like The Goonies is one of those movies that's kind of untouchable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's great, and you're not allowed to say otherwise, and I love it, and fuck you.
I feel like I'm such a fence sitter right now because I completely see where you're coming from, and I agree. I think it's an untouchable
movie. We're like almost in the same place, only I'm sort of leaning one way and you're leaning the other.
Well, I'm just a fence sitter. I'm just kind of like, I agree. It's like, it's untouchable. You can't. It was such an iconic thing in my... I mean, I could only name a few movies from my childhood that, like, I kind of put on all the time. I think Stand By Me was one.
Interesting.
Goonies. I'm trying to think of a few other... Blues Brothers, but that's totally my brother's influence. We just watch Blues Brothers all the time. Which, by the way, I have to... This is a dumb story. After the last podcast, we did Funny People.
Yeah.
And I drove home. I live in Chicago, and Patrick lives in the suburbs. So I left Schaumburg... And I got in my car and I drove home. It was late. I'm like, it's a long drive. I don't want to go. Blah, blah, blah. Sweet Home Chicago was on the radio. And the Blues Brothers version.
And it carried you the entire way.
It carried me the entire way. But not only that, I found myself driving about 90 miles per hour because it's the whole chase scene at the end. And I'm like, shit, if I get pulled over, is this a good enough excuse?
I found myself driving through a Pier 1 entrance.
Is this good enough excuse to tell the trooper, like, I'm sorry, this song came on. What would you do? Like,
I was thinking about Blues Brothers.
I have to drive fast.
I drove right through an Illinois Nazi, right?
Illinois Nazis, yeah, that's right. Anyway, but no, I there's a couple movies I put on when I was a kid. Goonies was one of them. Maybe like a little Gremlins.
Mine were like Dark Crystal and Time Bandits.
No.
But Goonies was one of them too.
And I, of course, in that respect, I think when I think about it, it makes me happy. And I know that's a really dumb thing to say, but it's like, it makes me feel good. It's a warm feeling that, you know, let me make a comparison or example. I can't talk, by the way. Comparison example is that when I look at a kid, like your son, for example, and he is smiling or he laughs at something, he is so, I don't know if you can hear that, but he is now screaming in the background, but he laughs and he smiles with his entire body.
Yeah.
He's so joyful and happy and precocious. And when he sees something that makes him happy, it's that best thing in the world for him. And I one time said to my wife, actually my mom, I get them confused, my mom and my wife, that I said, man, I wish I was as happy as he was right now. And of course they misinterpret this and say, well, why aren't you happy? And I'm like, no, I'm very happy. I love lots of things in my life. I love my good friend Patrick.
Right.
I love F This Movie. But I love fart on fthismovie.blogspot.gmail.com.
Charlie is in the place now where he's only seen Romancing the Stone.
Wait till Jewel of the Nile.
Jewel of the Nile will be the cold splash of reality where he's like, oh, shit exists in the world.
Right. Well,
I have no idea.
I think you touched on it, though. That's my point, is that I am very happy. I love my wife. I love certain aspects of my job, things like that. But it's like, for all the joy I get sometimes, it's always tempered with, well, and maybe I'm just a pessimist or kind of a, you know, nihilistic or dark, whatever. That I think about work, or I think about, you know, the sad things too, and I always kind of balance the two things out. My point is that I watch The Goonies, and I think that a lot of that is that it goes back to that time when it was like, man, there wasn't a care in the world. I didn't have to worry about paying bills or, like, will my car start, you know?
And yet, The Goonies is all about kids with the weight of the world on their shoulders, taking on the responsibility of saving their homes because their parents are fucking...
Yeah, their parents are useless.
Yeah, what the fuck, parents?
You think that a guy with a bow tie could fucking figure out how to pay a mortgage? Dude, you wear a bow tie. If you can tie that thing, because I can't, and I can pay my mortgage. That's all I know. By the way, that's all I know. Just end the podcast.
They can afford a fucking housekeeper.
Yeah, Rosalita. She has to put the heroin in one drawer and the cocaine in another.
Jokes that I think went over my head at 8 years old. Here's the last thing I'll say about Goonies, because at the end I always have to make some weird observation that often gets cut. when I was a kid.
By the way, the last podcast, he made a whole spiel about Leslie Mann and got cut. That's so if right. you want to hear that, email him. He'll send it to you as an MP3 file.
I'll send you my thoughts on Leslie Mann. When I was a kid, I really had a huge crush on Cary Grant, who Ooh. Plays Andy the Goonie.
She is very cute, and yes. she kind of looks like a boy, which is why you like her.
I really had such a, like, it's interesting, as a kid, I had very few sort of boy-girl things.
Actually, she looks like Jenny Lewis, is another crush
Which
had.
Was another huge yeah. one I had as a kid.
But you also loved Moose from You Can't Do That.
I did not. I loved Joe from Facts of Life. That was my first boy-girl thing, and they were always for, like, you know, actresses. It was never, like, kids in class.
I was always a Blair guy.
I know, of course. I never really had, like, crushes on classmates or anything.
Right.
I was too busy being in love with people in movies.
I never had a crush on classmates. I was always in love with, like, the student teacher.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
But I really dug Cary Grant. And I feel like as an adult, and she still looks great, by the way. She's very pretty. But I feel like as an adult, I would be way more into Martha Plimpton.
Just because she's a bizarre...
And just interesting. And even in the movie, she's a lot more interesting as a character.
Is she related to George Plimpton?
I don't know.
That's an interesting... Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Make your subject header, no more ballyhoo. So yeah, thanks for listening to Goonie Cast.
It was fun to do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Is it weird that the room is totally dark now?
Wow, we started, it was kind of light. Yeah. Now it's getting even sexier.
Now we're in just a dark bedroom talking about the Goonies.
This reminds me a lot of high school.
fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Do we know what's coming up next? Do you want to give a teaser for that, or do you not want to?
Who knows? Okay. The way the world works.
I think it's Amistad. I think they've
probably Amistad. You were right on the money earlier. Be our friend on Facebook. Subscribe to us in iTunes.
What's the Facebook address?
Facebook.com/fthismovie.
Very good.
Yeah.
And Podcast Alley. That's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the same thing. You can just listen to us. But it's another way to listen
yeah,
to us.
Yeah, it's another vehicle.
Tell your friends. We want as many people listening to F This Movie as possible. Get the word out.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Goonies never say what?
Die?